dope.
Let me tell you about the chicken grease.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Roberta's Restaurant. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchens of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking the best food books of 2009 and cocktails with Cara Newman. The top food blogs and newspapers have started to compile the best of 2009 lists. Well, guess what? On the phone, we have Celia Sack of Omnivore Books to dish on 2009 books and what will sizzle in 2010. Celia, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you for joining us.
Sure.
From All Cakes Considered to Thomas Keller, what are some of the top titles of 2009?
Well, I love the two that you just mentioned. There are some that have gotten a lot of attention, like the Ad Hoc book, and there's some that have not gotten as much attention as I think they deserve. So I thought maybe I could talk a little bit about some of those today. One of my favorites came out early in the year, and it's called Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It by Karen Solomon. It's all about how to make everything from your own jams and preserves to pickles to ham to potato chips. So it's a really fun guide to do-it-yourself kitchen help. I love that one, and it's beautifully laid out. 10 Speed Press came out with that. Another series that's brand new is Canal House Cooking, and that's out of Lambertville. I don't know if you've heard about it. Christopher Hirschheimer is doing it with Melissa Hamilton, who's the sister of Gabrielle Hamilton, who owns Prune. And it's just a beautiful series and a great concept. It's a three times a year cookbook that comes out seasonally. Yeah, very smart. And beautiful pictures and great ideas for seasonal cooking. Another Indian one that I really love, and I unfortunately can't remember the author's name, but it's called Five Spices, 50 Dishes. Chronicle Books put it out. And it's such a smart idea. She uses five typical Indian spices, and that's it. And the dishes include some or all of those. And every single thing that we've made has come out just perfectly. We've loved all the dishes. They've got flavor. They're interesting. They're easy to make. And it's just something that you could use every single day.
Let's talk back to basic titles. I think you probably will have on your list a few books that are popular year after year, or you see in the future people in 2010 and 2011 people will pick. Do you have a few on your list that are like the back to basics?
Well, Back to Basics is fabulous. That particular book by the Barefoot Contessa, yeah. I have to admit, we use all the time, and it's great. She's got a mustard-crusted fish in there, and succotash, and Papa Pomodoro. They're all so homey and fabulous, and I just love everything that she does. And, you know, I mean, one of the best parts about these books that are back to basics that you can go back to all the time, that for me, are ones where the recipes are really, really well tested. So all of the America's Test Kitchen books, the best, you know, it'll be like the best skillet dishes, the best 30-minute dishes, those are fantastic. I think they're called the best recipe series. And then Alice Waters' Art of Simple Food, I refer back to that all the time. Her books are really well tested and simple, easy to use, really straightforward, and always comforting.
Would you say that all of the books, the Art of Simple Food, I can't remember all of the titles. Do you think every person, or at least if you are a food enthusiast, you should have at least one or all of Alice Waters' books on your shelf?
I would say if you're going to have one, I would go with Art of Simple Food. If you're going to have two, the other favorite of hers that I love is The Chapinese Vegetables, and there's a companion called Chapinese Fruits, and it's very smartly laid out because it's alphabetical by vegetable, and then it'll have several dishes that you can make with those, including some with meat. So it's not a completely vegetarian book, but it's great because, you know, if you go to the market and get a huge thing of chard and you don't know what to do with it, this has, you know, six or seven options for you of things you can do. So it's really nice because you can do your marketing first and then come back to the book and find some use for what you've ended up with.
So what should we clear our bookshelves for starting next month?
Oh, gosh. you know, actually, well, there's a great one called Salty Sweets that's just come out that I'm really excited about, all about anything sweet that has salt in it, like salted caramel, that, you know, oh, I just can't wait to cook from. There's some great ones coming out in 2010 that I'm not exactly sure when they're coming out, but I can give you, and they don't even have titles yet, but I can give you some advance warning of them.
Sure.
One is called The Terrified Baker, and my partner Paul and I are actually in this book because we're bakers. Yes. Emily Lucchetti, who is a well-known San Francisco pastry chef and also has several books on pastries, teams up with various neophytes like us who don't know anything about baking and guides us through various processes of baking that get us to be less afraid. And that's a great one. Also, the Ubuntu cookbook is finally coming out. That's a vegetarian restaurant in the Bay Area up in Napa that has a Michelin star and is just a wonderful restaurant. So I know Jeremy Fox is the chef there, and he's going to be coming out with a cookbook. Also, Chad Robertson, who's the owner of Tartine in San Francisco, which
absolutely love that place.
I know, isn't that a great
place? So, don't they already have one book out?
They do, and that's all pastries and sweets, and this is the bread version of it. So it's going to be all breads, and I know he's working hard on that. And then in the nerd category, which I fall directly into, there's a book coming out called Twain's Feast, which is all about the foods that Mark Twain would have eaten and been able to find in the Mississippi River Delta. And I'm really, really excited about that. I can't wait to see.
That sounds like a cool title.
Totally.
So, aside from the mentioned new and collectible books on food and drinks at Omnivore Books, what does your shop offer, and how can our listeners, if they wanted to get any of the titles, how could they do that?
Well, we offer new and also antiquarian books, so vintage books on food and drink, which are really fun. And your upcoming guest, Kara Newman, came recently and gave a talk at our store. We have lots of talks. And so, you know, I've got signed books by lots of authors like her still available. And then also, the way that you would get in touch with me, to go on the website. It's omnivorebooks.com. You can see a list of some of the new books that we carry, but also we pretty much carry everything. And if we don't have it, we can get it. And you can do a really old-fashioned thing, which is pick up the phone and call me, ask for Celia, and I'm more than happy to ship a book out to you. And it's media mail, which is like $5. It's really cheap, and I'm just more than happy to help.
Celia, thank you so much for chatting with us on Hot Grease.
Well, thank you. This has been a pleasure.
And we look forward to having you on soon.
Anytime.
We'll be back after a short break with Kara Newman, Spice and Ice.
I'ma take my Lexus to the mall, get a little black dress just because. Me and my boo just broke it off. I'ma be fly although he's gone. I don't really care about who he's with. I'ma get mine and he'll get his. Even though I was in love with him, I really hope the best for them. I've been sentimental and my crying's detrimental. Tell me what I'm getting into. I can't lose my mind. Think it's time for me to let go, cause my heart can't take it no more. You were all I lived for, but I leave you behind. I'ma be a
did my best, I know you tried. Even though it hurts, I will survive. I'll wipe my eyes, I'll say it loud. Take a deep breath and count to ten. Today's a new day, I'll start again. I'ma find myself so deep within.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. There's nothing like a great cocktail any day, any time. In the studio, we have Kara Newman. Kara is a wine and spirits writer whose work has appeared in publications including the New York Times, Wine Enthusiast, and Gourmet Magazine. Kara, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hey, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the refresher of the basic spirits of a home bar. What should one have in their home bar?
Okay. Well, first of all, I think you should have whatever pleases you, whatever makes you really happy. But I guess the basics that I would want to have would probably be a few base spirits, vodka, tequila, rum. And then after that, a few liqueurs to help sweeten your drinks, things like triple sec, Domaine de Canton, ginger liqueur. I'm crazy about that these days. Elderflower, liqueur Saint Germain, all that good stuff. And after that, you just add to it piece by piece, whatever makes you happy.
I always feel like I have the wrong utensils. What are the like must-haves for the home bar?
Well, I'm not going to win any fans from the bar equipment makers when I tell you don't actually have to have anything.
Oh, wow.
I think there are lots of drinks you could just build in a regular glass and mix it up. You could use your home pitchers. You could use your spoons. You don't have to have fancy spoons. But if you wanted to take your drinks to the next level, I guess probably the basic equipment to have would be some sort of cocktail mixer. I have my cocktail shaker here with me, a nice shiny one. There are two different kinds. There's the standard Boston shaker. It's a pint glass and then a tin that fits snugly into the glass for mixing and pouring. Or you could have one with a strainer built in, which is the kind that I prefer. You might also want to add to your collection a muddler, which is like a small bat. It's a little blunt instrument that you can use for crushing mint leaves if you want to make a julep, or chili peppers. All that good stuff. And some people also like to have a tall mixing spoon you can just put into your glass and roll between your hands and easily stir things in a tall glass. And that's nice to have. You probably could use any spoon to do that. And same thing, you could use a spoon to muddle things in a glass as well.
So we have our spirits. We have our utensils. So how does one use local or organic ingredients when they're starting to build or make their cocktails?
Well, I'm a big believer in using all kinds of fruits and vegetables in season. And in fact, my book, Spice and Ice, is broken down into the four seasons deliberately. That way you can, I mean, you can go to the supermarket and buy anything in any season right now. But I think we all know that the stuff you buy your strawberries in December, they're just not the same as the strawberries
exactly.
You buy locally in July. So I think you get a much better cocktail. I know you're all about the good food movement.
Exactly. I see that there are a few like organic vodkas that are on the market. What are your thoughts about the organic vodkas? And I can't remember the name of theirs. Upstate New York. There's a distiller or
Tuttletown.
Yeah, I'm dying to go there.
Oh, go. I haven't been, but I've heard such wonderful things, and I love their baby bourbon.
Okay, yeah. So I see your thoughts. You're excited about the local spirits and organic vodkas.
I am, and I'm not excited about organic just for the sake of organic. I do love organic spirits that are good, and there's some that are really wonderful. I think Crop One is the name of the vodka maker that makes these really exciting, I think it's a cucumber vodka or a tomato vodka, and they're just wonderful, and they've actually managed to capture the aroma and the flavor of these really elusive vegetables. But at the same time, it's organic, it's virtuous, but it's still delicious.
I think by nature, people talking about organic and locally, I think people drink seasonally by nature. Because when I think winter cocktails, I automatically think like eggnog, hot ciders. I can't really think of anything else. What cocktails for the winter months am I missing?
Well, first of all, I think you want to talk about what's in season right now. And I think of all the citrus. I mean, this is a big, big time for all the wonderful oranges and lemons and blood oranges coming in. I brought some blood orange margarita to mix up for us. Grapefruits, all that wonderful stuff you can put right into your cocktails as well as into your fruit salad. And when I think winter cocktails, yeah, I think of the darker spirits, absolutely. Not just rum, but brandy and whiskey. And when it comes to the cocktails themselves, there are all kinds of wonderful warming cocktails as well. Rum toddies and...
Right, I forgot about that one, see.
Yeah, you can make a hot tea cocktail. All kinds of wonderful things. A hot cocoa type cocktail.
I see in your book, mentioned briefly that your book is divided into two seasons. And I'm looking at winter. I forgot about Mexican hot chocolate. That is the perfect cocktail for the winter months.
Absolutely. And you can make a non-alcoholic version if you're hanging out with the kids. But I think the grown-ups need to have their own very special Mexican hot chocolate with a little extra something to keep them warm.
We are going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with Kara. We're going to talk more about the book and actually make some cocktails in the studio. So we'll be back after a quick break. Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is sponsored by Roberta's. Let me give a Southern Girls hug to Roberta's. My favorite place to get the good girls pizza. And Roberta's is located at 261 Moore Street, Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. In the studio, we have Kara Newman. She's the author of Spice and Ice, a book dedicated to truly unique cocktails and infusions. Tell us about Spice and Ice. Why spicy cocktails?
Because they're just so much fun.
They are. They're not like the boring, like, oh, okay, let me just get a Cosmo.
No. Well, I started writing about spicy cocktails for Chili Pepper magazine. I mean, obviously, with a name like that, I mean, that's the magazine for people who love, chili cook-offs and salsa competitions. Ah. And I do a regular spirits column for them. And I just realized there were just so many fabulous cocktails. I mean, far beyond what I could ever fit into a column. Every time I'd go out, there'd be something fabulous to try. I mean, there are just so many restaurants with and bars with wonderful, interesting, spicy cocktails. I just knew that there was a book. So that's why Spice and Ice.
It's a great book.
Thank you.
So we're going to make, are we making one cocktail or are we making two cocktails?
Depends on how much time we have.
I think we probably have time for two.
So okay, I've got two of them for you then.
So what's the first cocktail we're making?
The first one is a blood orange jalapeno margarita.
So does this fall into one of the seasons in your book?
It'll be under winter.
Ah, okay, it does. Cool.
Everything falls under there. So I can give you a quick rundown of what's in it. We've got 2 ounces of jalapeno-infused tequila, which I just infused this morning. And it's just the simplest technique. All you do is slice up a jalapeno and put it in the tequila and let it sit for a couple of hours. And it infuses so much faster than, say, a fruit infusion, which can take days or weeks.
So we shouldn't be going out trying to find a jalapeno vodka or tequila. We should be infusing our own.
Well, I think it's always best to do your own, because then you get it to your liking, you know, in terms of heat level. And you also get those wonderful fresh vegetal flavors that you don't always get from. But there's some really good commercial ones on the market. There's some really
not so great ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't name any of them.
Okay.
So we've got 2 ounces of the jalapeno infused tequila. We have 1.5 ounces of triple sec, which is an orange liquor. We have 1.5 ounces of blood orange juice and another 1/2 ounce of lime juice to kind of give it a little tartness.
Okay, so she's shaking it up on air. Woo! I probably should have had a little food before this.
We'll be gentle, don't worry. Okay, there you go.
I'm a cheap drunk. Oh my God, the color is beautiful.
Isn't it?
It's a great like holiday Christmas color. Let's try it. Wow.
Yeah.
It's really good. The first thing, as soon as I put my nose, you can smell the jalapeno, but it's not like overpowering.
Oh yeah? Too bad.
It's perfect. I mean, it's enough kick, but it's perfect. I love it. Wow. So what kind of foods would I just be drinking, having like chips and salsa with this, or?
Well, my thoughts in terms of pairings is when you're going with spicy drinks, not to go with spicy food.
Ah, okay.
So that's rule number one, at least in my book. So I like to go with something that's something that has a little fat on it, a little dairy, something to really cut the heat a bit. So you want to go with your chip, sure, but I'd have some sour cream with it, too.
Gotcha. Now, let me ask you this. Is this a drink that I can make in a large batch for a holiday party, or is this just like a one shaker thing? Can I kind of have it like a big punch bowl and make this, or?
Absolutely. No, why not?
Okay.
You just have to multiply the servings a bit, and you just want to watch that it wouldn't get too over diluted when you float ice in there.
Gotcha.
But other than that, I mean, why not?
So we're moving on to the second drink.
Okay. This one's got a bit of a sweeter profile to it. I know that not everybody loves the chili peppers and the really, you know, blazing hot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a lot of ginger drinks. And
I love ginger.
And sweeter spices like cinnamon and clove in the book. So this is one of those. This one's called the gingered apple.
Oh, okay.
So the main spice ingredient is 2 ounces of ginger liqueur. I was using Domaine de Canton. You could also probably muddle your own ginger and give it a good kick, too. Then there's also 1 ounce of vanilla vodka. 2.5 ounces of apple cider. And I'm using a local cider producer.
I see. You're using Red Jacket.
I like them. I went to the Green Market this morning and picked it up.
Yeah, they're always at the Green Market. And actually, you can get them from Fresh Direct.
Oh.
Some of our people that shop Fresh Direct under the local tab, they're on Fresh Direct.
Mm-hmm. I love Fresh Direct.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the splash of lemon juice, so it's not overly sweet.
I'm definitely going to have to get a good girl pizza after this.
You can pretend to be virtuous.
This color, it's kind of, I'm not going to say orangey, but it's the color of a pear, actually.
Yeah, it gets most of its color from the apple cider.
Ah, okay.
Because there's tasting. Really, yeah.
Yeah. My immediate thing is I smell the vanilla. And you can taste the like hints of ginger.
It's a really aromatic
cocktail. I really
cocktail.
Like this one. I like both, but I like this one.
I find this one to be a
What
a
would
real...
you pair this with in terms of food?
Dessert.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Or
yeah.
instead of dessert, I suppose.
Mmm.
Like an apple tart tatin it might be nice with. I mean, this you could probably pair it with something with a little more spice on it if you want to throw, say, a little cayenne on your apple pie, if you're that kind of person. You could probably pair it with this because the spice is really subtle. It's just ginger.
Yeah, it is. This is both. These are both very... So, always, we could do these in a shaker. Because I hear a lot of people say sometimes with cocktails, you don't have to shake them. You can stir them. So...
The whole point of shaking or stirring, you're just trying to get it cold.
Ah, gotcha.
And when you're shaking it, especially when you're shaking it really vigorously, you're trying to get it cold, but you're also trying to dilute it just a little bit, because when you're shaking, especially really hard, what you're doing is you're breaking up the ice cubes, too.
I absolutely, your book, the photos, the photography, they're absolutely gorgeous. And...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it makes you excited about making the drink.
I love what they did with the book. There are all these wonderful, vibrant colors, which I think matches up well with the vibrant nature of the drinks.
So you have a blog.
I do.
And you write, do you write exclusively about spirits, or are you talking about food, or?
On the blog, which is at KaraNewman.wordpress.com. I'm writing primarily about spirits, but also about cocktail culture.
Gotcha.
Also about spicy foods. So it's that whole intersection where the whole chili head thing meets the cocktailian thing.
Gotcha.
Which is, I guess, unique and a little offbeat, but I guess that's me. Unique and a little offbeat.
And you're on Twitter.
Yes.
Do you tweet a lot?
Not as well. Probably more often than I should, and then probably not as often as I should.
You know, I mean, I could be wrong. Twitter friends after the show definitely tweet me, but there are not a lot of spirits, wine and spirits folks on Twitter. I could be very wrong, but I follow quite a few people on Twitter, but I don't see a lot of wine and spirits. I think one person. I can't even think of her name right now.
Oh, I don't know. I find there are a lot of wine and spirits folks, and it's funny. There's one person who I know is a bartender in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and she tweets while she's on the job sometimes.
Oh, really?
And it's funny to see when she's tweeting, because it's usually long after I'm, you know, safely tucked in bed, and she's twittering all through the night, and then I can wake up and read what she said.
Oh, wow.
And she usually has some interesting war stories.
So what's your Twitter name? It's your name.
It's just my name. No spaces, no underscore, just Kara Newman.
And it's K. You're Kara with the K.
Right. KaraNewman.
Kara, thank you so much for joining us on Hot Grease. I am totally excited about making these cocktails for New Year's. And even for Christmas is coming up, where this weekend I'm having some friends over. So I'm going to definitely make a cocktail, send you an email. Maybe I'll blog about it. I need to blog on foodcultures.com. But thank you for coming to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
And we look forward to talking to you soon. Join me every Monday at 3:30. I think our following show, I don't know what our following show, but just to remind you guys, we are 24/7. And Edible Communities is coming up next on Heritage Radio Network. But until then, always take the road less traveled.